I'm Josh Carey.
And I'm Chef Tom Jackson.
And you're listening to Cooking with Fire.
This week, we're going to be talking about making pastrami at home.
We're also adding a Q&A section to the top of the podcast, and this week we are talking about cleaning your grill to get it ready for spring. Let's get started.
This is Cooking with Fire, a global exploration of barbecue from KMUW.
So I wanted to expand the podcast just a bit to cover information that would be useful to our listeners beyond a little history and a recipe each episode. So I put a question out on Twitter asking what people thought was the hardest part of their grill to keep clean.
It was pretty even, with 42% stating that keeping the grease management area clean was the hardest, and 41% thinking it was harder to keep the grill grates themselves clean, with only 17% of you saying the exterior of the grill was the most difficult.
I found this really interesting. I've always found the exterior of the grill to be a pain, as mine is technically undercover with my awning, so I don't worry about putting a cover on it, and the combination of rain and dirt always wreaks havoc on my grills.
Well, that's why you should use a grill cover.
True.
So let's break down how to keep the interior of your grill clean, and if it isn't looking so hot, how to get it ready for the spring. The first thing you'll want to do is get the right supplies. Get some nitrile gloves, a stiff plastic putty scraper, grill brush, some good citrus-based cleaner, and a couple of large tubs that you can fit your grill's interior parts into. It would also be handy to have a shop vac on hand.
Once you have your supplies gathered, you can break down cleaning into two parts. Fill a large tub with water and cleaner and soak your grill grates, and if you're using a gas grill, your burner covers into the solution to soak for a few hours, making sure to knock off any large debris with a good grill brush before you soak them.
Next, you'll want to remove the grease tray from your grill, if you have one, and make another mixture of soap and water to soak it in. I've found that those large, flat plastic tubs that are made to hold wrapping paper work really well here. Before you can soak it, you'll want to dump any grease and large chunks into the trash, and then use your stiff plastic scraper to knock off the large chunks. Once you feel like it's as good as it can get, you can put it in the solution to soak for a few hours.
While everything is soaking, toss on some gloves and grab your scraper again and attack the buildup of gunk on the inside of your lid. And use your shop vac to remove any residue you remove from the burners, igniters, and the interior of the grill. Do a quick wipe down with a dry cloth and you should be good. Now this shouldn't take long, so while everything soaks, a quick spray down of your grill's exterior will do wonders for it. Again, a good citrus-based cleaner is all that's needed. If your grill is stainless steel, a polish may be useful to get it to shine again.
Once your interior parts have soaked for a few hours, pull them out and begin wiping them down with a cloth. The goal isn't to make them look new, but just to make sure they're clean and ready for another cooking season. Dry the pieces and reassemble your grill.
Now, if you're using a charcoal grill or a pellet grill, you'll have fewer pieces and steps, but you'll essentially do the same thing with your grates and any diffuser plates your grill may have.
Now that your grill's all clean and ready to cook, let's get it dirty with a classic pastrami recipe.
Pastrami got its start as all cured meats did. It was salt cured, in this case in a wet brine, and then smoked to keep it from spoiling. Now that we have refrigeration, there is no need to cure your meats unless, of course, you love the flavor. Which in the case of pastrami, I do, and I think most of humanity is in agreement.
The etymology of the word pastrami is an interesting one and can be traced back to the Turkish pastirma, which translates to pressed meat. Air-dried beef was popular in early Byzantine cuisine and is a precursor to modern Turkish pastirma. Pastirma gave way to Romanian pastrama, which is a similar air-dried meat, but unlike pastirma, which is only air-dried after a salt cure, pastrama is smoked and steamed after it is dried outside. This gave way to what we know as pastrami today, when the Romanian Jews immigrated to New York in the late 1800s.
Sussman Volk, a Romanian immigrant, is credited with creating the first pastrami sandwich in New York in 1887. The story goes that Volk got a recipe for pastrami from a friend. Back in Romania, the popular meat for pastrama at the time was goose, but as it was more expensive in the U.S., Volk used beef instead, which was plentiful and cheap. These days, pastrami in the U.S. is most closely associated to that which is served at famous New York delis like Katz and Carnegie Deli. Their food has won them raving fans from around the world. Now is the perfect time to get into our recipe, so let's cut out to Chef Tom in the All Things Barbecue Teaching Kitchen and get started.
Well, I've just removed our brisket flat from the brine and rinsed it under cold water really well so it's not too salty on the surface. And then I patted it dry with some paper towels, and now I have it here in front of me with a little bit of mustard. And this mustard is going to be our binder for our rub today. I'm just going to rub a thin layer of mustard all over the surface of the brisket. And then the rub that we're going to be using is just a 50-50 combination of coriander seeds and black peppercorns. And we've ground those fairly coarsely, separate, so that they will grind at the proper texture, because it takes a little more effort to get those black peppercorns ground than it does the coriander. So I've got them combined now. Quarter cup of each should cover everything. And I'm just sprinkling it over the surface of the brisket flat. I'll kind of press this in to get the rub to really stick to the meat. Flip it over and do the other side. And this half cup of rub is going to be the perfect amount for this flat. All right, I'm going to let this rest. Just let this rub stick onto the meat for about 5 minutes, and then I'll take it out to the smoker. All right, our smoker is preheated to 250 degrees. I'm going to take our brisket flat, place it here on the second shelf, and let it soak up some of that smoke.
Now, this process is going to be really familiar to any of you barbecue guys and girls, as we're essentially treating this cured cut as we would a standard brisket. We're going to smoke it at 250 degrees and let it ride in the smoke until we like the color.
Exactly. The basic process is to smoke it and then wrap it to finish, just like your classic Kansas City-style brisket.
Let's cut back to Chef Tom as we get our pastrami wrapped up.
Well, our pastrami has been on for about 5 hours now, and we've got a really beautiful color on the outside. We're going to stop that coloring process right here by taking this off of the grill right now and wrapping it up in foil. All right, so we've got this wrapped nice and tight so that no steam can form inside to steam away our bark. And what's going to happen now is this is just going to braise inside of this pouch as it continues to cook and get nice and tender.
Now that we've wrapped our pastrami and it's back on the smoker, this is a perfect time to note that if you're cooking on a gas grill, you don't have to put it back on the grill and keep using up your propane.
Since the meat is no longer taking on smoke, you can instead set your oven to 300 degrees and place the foil-wrapped pastrami inside. At this point, no matter what you're cooking on, gas, wood, charcoal, or pellet, all it is an oven.
Let's get back to Chef Tom as we finish up our recipe.
All right, it's been a couple of more hours now, and our pastrami is feeling nice and tender. So I'm going to go ahead and take a probe from an instant read thermometer and use it to test the doneness. I'm feeling very little resistance as I probe this. Each one of these flats can be a little bit different, but we are above the 200 mark for the internal temperature at this point. However, cooking to that feel, it's nice and tender, so we'll go ahead, pull this off the grill, and let it rest.
That does it for this episode.
And as always, don't forget to head over to KMUW.org to get the full recipe for today's cook.
Thank you guys so much for listening. If you have any recipes you'd like us to cook or anything you want covered on the show, email us at cookingwithfirepodcast@gmail.com. Also, if you enjoy the show, please leave a review over on iTunes to let others know. And join us next time when Chef Tom and I smoke lobster tails.